like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and we'll begin reading in just a moment in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. This chapter speaks to us about an area of our lives often neglected, often overlooked. There is the heart of the matter, which is the heart. I read the other day in some of my reading that when preachers preach from the heart, they reach the heart. And we get into the heart of the matter here in Matthew chapter 6. We begin with verse 1, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Verse 16, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." If you're in the habit of marking things, I want you to mark something we find in verse 4. "Thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." And in the closing part of verse 6, "Thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And then in verse 18, "Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." I want to speak to you on our secret life, our secret life. We live in two worlds, all of us. We live in a public world where eyes are upon us, and we do our best to have that public world well ordered. And we also live in a private, secret world where only God sees. I could give some sordid stories to you about people who lived secret lives that became public affairs, lives of governors, not just one but many, lives of preachers, not just one but many. One story about a preacher in our state who pastored the largest church in his county, who was living a secret life, who went home after an evening church service on a Sunday evening, went into his bedroom, opened his drawer next to his bed, pulled out a pistol and killed himself just after he'd preached in his church service because of what was in his secret life. There's stories like that coming to our attention all the time. On the other side of that, there are people who are seldom noticed, who don't live in much of a fanfare, but who live the right kind of secret life. And God sees that also. Our secret life. Our secret life. I have a wonderful wife. What a companion. She and I have been on this journey together as husband and wife for 45 years. I think I could write a little biographical sketch about her pretty easily. I know where she was born and when she was born. I know that she was born in a house, not in a hospital. I could take you to where that house at one time stood. I know a lot about her childhood. I've made it a point to find out. I met her when she was 13, but I tried to fill in all the gaps up until then. As a 5-year-old girl, she lost her dad in an automobile accident. I know what schools she attended when she was in the grade school and in junior high school, or the middle school they would call it now. I know the places that were residence for her. I've traced her steps. She and I have been married since 1967, and we're grateful to God for the journey we're on together. I think I know her as well as I know any human being on earth. But just to make the point, even I do not know her secret life. I do not know her secret life. And she doesn't know mine. And no one knows yours. At least no human being really knows your secret life. But we have a secret life. We'll come back to our passage in just a moment, but I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 4. And I want you to look with me at a familiar verse in a little different light. We're looking at it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This is a verse about the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow." And the last part of this verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Think of that. Imagine God would tell us that His Word discerns our thoughts and our intents. Imagine that. I want you to write a few simple things down as we consider our secret life. And as we're dealing with it, I want you to think about your secret life. How is your secret life ordered? What is it? The secret life we live. What is it? What we really are is what we are in our secret life. No doubt about it. Oh, may God help us. If we know we're trying to do the right thing in our secret life when criticism comes, for example, sometimes harsh criticism comes, but we know in our heart we're not guilty of that criticism and we're able to stand the test because we've worked on keeping our conscience void of offense. We've tried to live the right way before God and before men. All of our existence is connected to our secret life. No doubt about it. Well, let's get on with it. I want you to write this down, would you please? Our secret life is seen by the Lord. He sees our secret life. Our secret life is seen by the Lord. When you have this kind of repetition given to us in a passage, it is for emphasis, no doubt. Look at it again, please. Thy Father, verse 4, "Thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Think of that. Our Father which seeth in secret self shall reward thee openly. In verse 6, "Thy Father which is in secret and thy Father which seeth in secret." No doubt about it. Which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And again, in verse 18, as I read a moment ago, "Thy Father which seeth in secret." There's no room for doubt here that God sees our secret life. There's no room for doubt there, that God sees it. This entire chapter goes on and on about this. For example, if you turn back just a bit to chapter 5 in Matthew, the Lord is placing the same emphasis, but using a different way to bring it to attention. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. This is the Lord Jesus teaching, of course. Verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Well, how would anybody know? God knows. Because our secret life is visible to God. He sees our secret life. Everything we try to hide. You know, we're living in a day when people can get alone in a room with a computer and visit thousands of inappropriate websites. But God sees every bit of it. Of course, the same person could enter into a prayer closet and nobody sees him but God, and God sees that. And the same person could give gifts, as God says, in a secret way where nobody knows, and God sees that. No doubt about it. The same person could fast and pray, not like the man or person brought to our attention in the scripture here that wants people to know it and with a disfigured type face. But fasting and praying, and it's known to God, God sees all of this. Turn with me to the Psalms just a moment, would you please? If you'll turn with me to the Psalms. I want you to look with me at a psalm that is very straightforward about this, Psalm 139. Remember, God has access to all our thoughts, all of it. In Psalm 139, the Bible begins, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Think of it. God sees our secret life. The Lord speaks of our inner man and our outward man. We have an inner man, and we're to care for that inner man. That inner man is who we really are. When we conduct funeral services and we have a body laid out before us, we try to comfort the family by saying what we have here is a recognizable form and a body, but the real person who lived in that body is not in that body. They're gone. You see, we all know that there is an inner man. We all know there's a secret life. But what we often forget is that God sees every part of it. He sees it. Now, I don't believe, honestly, I don't believe that God wants us to live our lives in a way where we think he's about to club us to death every moment. We ought to live in the fear of God. But it's a fear that should produce holy living. Because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But when we know we're doing things that are disobedient to God, we know we've done wrong. And we know that God sees it. And we need to confess it and come clean with the Lord. Because God sees our secret life. Our secret life is seen by the Lord. I want you to write a second thing down, if you would, please. Our secret life is searched. Is searched by the Lord. Now, my wife is a good housekeeper. I hate to say that because, you know, somebody will show up and I've thrown everything. I go home and undress like I'm having a progressive undressing. Honestly, I'll take the coat off and leave it at the door, and then I'll go to the next room and leave my shoes there, and the next room, leave a tie there. Now, I ought to know better. I've been married a long time, and I've had a great trainer. I just haven't paid good attention, you know? But the fact of the matter is, occasionally, someone will come, and Evelyn will say, don't take them through the garage. How many of you ever done anything like that? Let me tell you, God knows all our garages. God knows all our closets. He knows all our hiding places. He truly does. He knows it all. He searches it out. That's what the Bible says. Look at this same psalm while we're here. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. By the way, some of you women are already primed to say to Evelyn, I'm going to tell her what she can do to get him to stop those bad habits. Look, mind your business. Jeremiah chapter 17, if you'll turn there, please. My house wouldn't be near as nice if I didn't have the opportunity to throw things where I want to, and you don't know that I might go back and clean them up. You know? Now, honey, it's my time to preach. You get yours when the service ends in just a little while, all right? Very good. And I want to be very kind to you, or I have to get another way home. Jeremiah chapter 17, look at verse 7 and following. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now it's interesting that this is in the context of what I'm about to read. Now, if you see a tree, if you see a plant decaying, you know it's decaying on the outside. The vision you have of it in decay is because something has gone wrong on the inside. And then God goes right into this expression in verse 9 of Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I want you to mark that expression, to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God is searching. He searches us. He searches our secret life. He's on the hunt. He's interested. He's more than interested. He's our loving Heavenly Father. The Spirit of God indwells us. From the moment we trust Christ as Savior, we will never be alone again. Every thought is revealed to God, our Heavenly Father, but every thought is dealt with by the work of the Spirit of God who lives in us. I don't want to live my life as a Christian constantly thinking God is out to get me. And I don't live that way. I believe with all of my heart a great mistake has been made in many circles on both ends of the spectrum. But one way it's been made is that we have given people the idea that God is out to get them. He's not. He intends for us to live a happy, joyful life. The Lord Jesus Christ has this as his intent. Now, it's not going to be without trials and difficulties. There's no doubt about that. Man that's born of woman, you've heard many times, in a few days and full of trouble. Job 14:1. On the other end of the spectrum, people want to go so far with this, they want to remove all fear of God. He's just a buddy. You know, we just go places together. As someone sang years ago, some country and western song, me and Jesus got our own thing going. You know, I don't like to talk that way about Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't like to hear other people talk that way. Now, I know somebody meant well in that song, and I don't want to go berserk on that. I'm just saying to you, the Lord God Almighty is the only true and living God, the Almighty God, the all-knowing God, the always present God, the all-powerful God. And the Bible says he searches our secret life. He searches it. I mean by that, you cannot and you are not, and I cannot and I am not hiding anything from God. I may use the expression that I'm hiding something from God, and you may use the expression that you're hiding something from God, but nothing can be hidden from God. Nothing. He says every time we turn our heads a second time to look when we couldn't help but see the first time, but we yielded to temptation and looked the second time, he sees that. He knows if we're surfing the television and saw something and we found something we shouldn't have given to our eye gate and we secretly try to go back to it. He knows that. And men, and I'm sorry to say, I don't mean to be mean to you girls, but men and women have these problems. I know men have them because I'm a man and I know my own battles and you ought to know yours. And I thank God he's made a way for cleansing. Praise his holy name. But he's also made a way to resist temptation so the cleansing's not needed. May God guide us. But he searches our secret life. Then I'd like you to write a third thing down, and that is God sends rewards to our secret life. That's his desire. That's his intent. He wants to bless us, not catch us, but bless us. He will catch us, but he wants to bless us. Look at that verse again, if you would please, in this discussion of this very subject. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, if you still have your Bible open there. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I'm searching so I can see your ways. And he wants our ways to be his ways so he can bless them. And our doings to be his doings so he can bless them. If you turn back with me, please, to the passage where we began in Matthew chapter 6. The Lord doesn't just say, your heavenly Father seeth, your heavenly Father seeth in secret, your heavenly Father seeth in secret, your heavenly Father seeth in secret. He doesn't leave it there. Look what he says in verse 4. That an alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. It's possible to live a blessed life. I don't know why God blesses any of us, frankly, and it's nothing but pride on my part or your part if we think we're living the kind of life, well, God is blessed, and no wonder God is blessing me. No, we ought to always wonder how on earth, with our thought life as messy as it is, how on earth could God bless any of us? A little humility is necessary here. But he says, I want to reward you. He says again in verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." He repeats it again in verse 18, "That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." In other words, if we will take care of our secret life, God will take care of our public life. But if we take care of our public life and neglect our secret life, we better not expect God to bless, no matter what anybody else may think. Because what we really are is what we are in our secret life. And if people are always talking about what they've done in public, what they've accomplished, if they major on the word I, which is the devil's way to major on speaking, I, you can just count it down, whether you're saying it or someone else is saying it. If all we enjoy doing is talking about ourselves, you can just guarantee that the secret life is not being taken care of like it ought to be taken care of. Because if the Lord finds what he desires to find in the secret life, in the secret life, he sends rewards to what he finds. My heart has been broken over my own life. I thank God. God has protected me from so many things, and I give him glory for it. And I want my strength to continue to be in him. But my heart has also been broken, sadly broken, with disappointments in other people. And every time, two things happen. Number one, I'm grieved over the hurt they've brought to themselves and to others. Number two, I want to take heed that the same thing could happen to me if I don't take care of my secret life.